Loudon Wainwright III has been making wry observations on life and love for over 30 years. He's also been an actor on the big and small screen. Some of you may remember him from MASH or from his role in Big Fish, among many others. One of his biggest supporters as an actor turns out to also be a big supporter of his music. Judd Apatow cast Loudon on TV in the series Undeclared and asked him to write the music for the soundtrack to his latest film, Knocked Up.
He was a fan of mine when he was about 13 or 14.
There you go.
He grew up on Long Island, and somehow, I think he saw me on Mike Douglas shows, which I probably did down here in Philly.
That's right.
And he was a kid that watched a lot of daytime television, and he was taken with my shtick, as it were. And he started to come and see me at places like The Bottom Line in New York as an underage teenager. So then 6 years ago, I got a call from his office saying that he was interested to see me for the possibility of acting as the dysfunctional father in Undeclared. And I didn't even know who he was. I hadn't seen Freaks and Geeks. But it worked out, and I did that, and we've been working together ever since, on and off.
And this time around, something kind of unusual happened in that he liked some of your songs for the film, but he wanted you to strip lyrics out of it for the kind of incidental music. Was that unusual?
Well, you know, I worked on the record with Joe Henry, and both Joe and I mean, Joe's a great producer, but he's also a songwriter, and so we approached it with songwriter sensibilities and wrote songs. And then we used pieces of the songs without the lyrics as musical cues and scoring cues. And there was other music in the movie also, but we wrote a lot of songs, which constituted the album Strange Weirdos.
But these songs hang together as an album. How much did you take cues from any script for the songs?
Well, Judd gave me the script about a year and a half ago. And some of the songs, like X or Y, you know, it's about a baby coming. So that was directly inspired. Valley Morning was directly inspired. And the title track, Strange Weirdos, was also, Judd said, you know, I want a song about people, kind of dysfunctional people meeting and somehow getting more functional as the relationship proceeds. And then we used some old songs. We used a great Peter Blegvad song, Daughter, and a Mose Allison song on the record, and an old song of mine called Lullaby. So it's a kind of a potpourri.
Indeed it is. Well, we're going to go to stage now and get a performance of X or Y, the probably the most totally appropriate for the film.
X or Y, do or die, pain and joy, it's a girl or a boy, it's a friend or a foe, nah, you'll never know, it's no lie that it's X or Y. If it's X, a gal is next, but if it's Y, you get a guy. If it's pink or blue, it all comes from you. No, you don't have to try. It's X or Y. Ah, 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 ah. X or Y. Mommy's boy might be her toy. Daddy's girl may rock his world. It's all down to dumb luck. It's a doll, it's a truck. No, and you don't have to try. No, it's X or Y. Woman, man, that's a plan. You can't deny it's X or Y. Oh, it might feel like fun, but some work's been done. It's not just sex, it's Y or X. What is meant by this huge event? You get so stressed, but you feel blessed or maybe cursed. Oh, but what comes first? Is the girl or the guy? That's right, or sex or wine? And you can see what it will be. But if you look, you may get shook. Oh, I don't need to shake. No mistake. The deed is done. You got a daughter or a son. X or Y. Yeah, do or die. Oh, it's a pain and joy. It's a girl or a boy. It's a friend or a foe. No, you'll never know. But it's no lie. That is X or Y.
Thank you very much. X or Y live on the radio here in Philadelphia.
X or Y from our guest Loudon Wainwright on stage at World Cafe Live, and he's got a new album called Strange Weirdos, beautifully produced with Joe Henry, that is also serves as a, it's one of those hybrid things, serves as the soundtrack to Knocked Up, the new Judd Apatow film. Now, Gray in L.A. Begins the disc, and also sort of began, I think, Judd Apatow's thinking of you with this film. When did you move? You moved back to L.A. a while ago.
I moved back to L.A. about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I lived in L.A. for some years when I was a kid, but and have been going there as an adult, you know, to work and things. But 6 years ago, we moved out.
But you like it.
I like it when I'm working, and, you know, there's something I love it and I hate it. I mean, you know, and I think the song expresses my ambivalence about it. I mean, it's a town, it's the cruelest town, which I sing in the song. I think, people who come out there in show business anyway, I mean, that's what it's about. It's about somehow making it. And so it's, and then, of course, you're always driving.
Always. Well, it's a beautiful song. This is Gray in L.A., and let's go back to the stage with our guest, Loudon Wainwright III.
When it's gray in L.A., I sure like it that way, 'cause there's way too much sunshine around here. I don't know about you, I get so sick of blue skies wherever they always appear. And I sure love the sound of the rain pouring down on my carport roof made out of tin. If there's a flood, then there's gonna be mudslides. We all have to pay for our sin. And I suppose that they'll close canyon roads and the freeways will all start to clog. And the waters will rise, and you won't be surprised when your whole house smells like your wet dog. When it's gray in L.A., it's much better that way. It reminds you that this town's so cruel. Yeah, it might feel like fun when you're sporting sunglasses, but really you're just one more fool. I'm just a chump, this whole town's a dump. We came out here to dump all our dreams of making it big, but we're stuck in a sick alert nightmare. That's just how it seems. And I suppose Lori David sure knows all those cars we drive heat up our earth. And see temperatures rise, and those constant blue skies and brush fires can sure curb your mirth. Brad Gray's in L.A., okay, I should stay. There's no place that's better I know for a wannabe star stuck in a car on a freeway with nowhere to go. It's gray in L.A., I sure like it that way, 'cause There's way too much sunshine around here. I don't know about you, I get so sick of blue skies wherever they always appear.
Thank you!
Great LA!
Gray in L.A. from Loudon Wainwright III, which is on the new Strange Weirdos album, soundtrack to the new film, and, of course, live on stage at World Cafe Live. Every summer, I drive down to the Delaware beaches numerous times, and I go through Middletown, Delaware, which is where you went to school.
That's right.
And I always think of you going to school there. How did you end up from there becoming a songwriter? I know you went to school for theater, but
well, actually, the school in Middletown was a boys' boarding school.
Right.
It's now co-ed, but it's the St. Andrews School, and it used to be called the St. Andrews School for Boys.
Nah.
My dad went there, actually, and graduated in 42, so he sent me there. And
that must have been tough.
Didn't have a great time there. It's funny, though. I just did a gig in Annapolis a few days ago, and a lot of St. Andreans came. And actually, my original advisor was there, which was interesting. So I have fond memories of it about now. But I wrote a song called School Days, which was the first song on my very first record. I mean, it's an evocative. The campus was where the movie Dead Poets Society was shot, so it has a beauty to it, which is underneath it lurks the weirdness, but.
Blaspheming booted blue jean baby boy.
There you go.
Going all the way back to that.
I used to love alliteration, David.
With good reason.
Yes.
It works for a lot of people. I was also reading some about that first album of yours that apparently Columbia was interested in signing you, but you ended up going with Atlantic, which kind of had a way of making albums in those days, and you were placed with one of my favorite producers, but apparently it didn't work for you, Arif Martin. How did you convince them to let that first album come out so stripped down?
It wasn't easy. The albums that I loved were the early Dylan records, which were stripped down, and I was a big Jack Elliott fan, and those my favorite records of his were just voice and guitar. So Neswi Ertegun, who signed me to Atlantic, wanted me to try it with Arif, and we got the cream of the crop. I think Grady Tate was the drummer. I mean, really great musicians, and I was this 20-year-old wasp from Westchester, New York, and I was just terrified for one thing, and then I also. In the back of my mind, I wanted to make a voice and guitar record. And so we tried it with the musicians, and I kind of dragged my feet on it, and then they let me make two records that were voice and guitar for Atlantic, and then they dropped me.
Right. Well, those albums made a lot of impressions on, so they were critics' favorites, shall we say, although they didn't particularly, I guess, sell very much.
No.
But when I see you on stage often, you're an entertainer and you do a lot of your funny material, but those first couple of albums, there's humor involved, but there were some dead on incredible songwriting of a much more serious vent. Do you feel typecast sometimes into the funnier end of what you do?
The first two records, I mean, the comedy started to creep in on the second record, which was called Album 2. What a sense of humor I had, with a song called Nice Jewish Girls and Plain Too and things. But in the beginning, I think I was an angst-ridden, young man. And the songs on that first and second album reflect that. By the time I made the third album, I had done shows, and I realized that I was a bit of a comedian and enjoyed being a comedian. And that's the album that had Dead Skunk on it. And then at that point, I became pegged as a kind of novelty songwriter. Now I like to think I'm a switch hitter. I can go back and forth.
Well, one of the deepest songs on this new album, one that gets me, is You Can't Fail Me Now, with incredible comments about about mercy on it. Can we ask what this came out of?
Well, You Can't Fail, I have a writer credit on You Can't Fail Me Now, but to be honest, it's Joe Henry's song. I mean, I helped him on the bridge, with a suggestion or two. But it's Joe's song, and it's a beautiful, great song. In fact, it's also on his new album, Civilians. Yeah, it's a great song, and I love singing it.
Well, let's go to the stage and hear that, and you will note that this is not Loudon all alone. Who's with you today?
My daughter, Lucy Wainwright Roach, is going to be singing with me on this.
I know that fan is moving air. I can see it in your hair, but I can't bear to breathe it in somehow. I'll rise and fall with you, you can't fail me now. I'll rise and fall with you, you can't fail me now.
Salt is sweet upon my mouth. The dark throws sparks against my house. The stain of love's a smudge upon my brow. But you see through me and you can't fail me now. You see right through me and you can't fail me now.
I bit off more than I can chew. Something that I tend to do, and fewer words are what we need and how. You bite my tongue, you can't fail me now. I rant and rail, you can't fail me now. I've lost the thread among the vines and hung myself in storylines to tell the tales I never would allow. God knows the name of every bird that fills my mind like angry words. You know all my secret heart avows.
We're taught to love the worst of us and mercy more than life, but trust me, mercy's just a warning shot across the bow. I live for yours and you can't fail me now. I live for your mercy.
You can't fail me now.
You can't fail me now.
That's Lucy over there, Lucy Wainwright Roach.
You can't fail me now. From our guest, Loudon Wainwright III, and Lucy Wainwright Roach on stage at World Cafe Live. And it's interesting. One of the first songs I think people heard from this new album is one you didn't write, but I'm sure everybody thought you did. It's the Peter Blakeville song called Daughter.
Yeah.
And, you know, it looks like you recorded that after you'd recorded the others for the film. Did it?
Actually, we recorded that. That was the first thing that Joe and I ever did. We did it about 3 years ago. It was originally done for a charity record. I think it was called A Father's Love or something like that. And somebody wanted. And I always loved Peter Blegvad's song, Daughter. And he's a friend of mine. He lives in London. And we've toured together. And I knew it. So I suggested to Joe that we do it. And then when Judd Apatow heard it, he thought it would be great for the record. And it really, of all the music on the film, it's the one that comes up when the credits roll at the end of the movie.
And you can't lose with songs about fathers and daughters anyway.
Can't lose.
Says she wants everything she wants. I see she gets. That's my daughter in the water. Everything she owns, I bought her. Everything she owns. That's my daughter in the water. Everything she knows, I taught her. Everything she knows. Everything I say, she takes to heart. Everything she takes apart. That's my daughter in the water. Every time she fell, I caught her. Every time she fell. That's my daughter in the water. I lost every time I fought her. Yeah, I lost every time. Every time she blinks, she strikes somebody blind. Everything she thinks blows her tiny mind. That's my daughter in the water. Who'd have ever thought her? Who'd have ever thought? That's my daughter in the water. I lost every time I fought her. Yeah, I lost every time.
That's Daughter live on stage at World Cafe Live. Loudon Wainwright III is our guest. Well, thanks for the new album, and thanks for being here. It's always
pleasure
always
to
a treat.
See you.
Loudon Wainwright III, our guest on the World Cafe.